Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, humans. Welcome back to the Schmo Zone. This is episode number 54. I'm Dave Schmolenson, a.k.a. The Schmo. My co-host is...
Helen Yee, a.k.a. Helen Yee Sports.
She keeps the suspense going. And we are here at the temporary Schmo Zone studio because the Schmo Zone is under construction.
Yes, and I can't wait. We can't wait till everyone can finally see our new studio. It's really cool. We have so many cool things ahead and planned. So thank you so much for being patient with us during this time. I promise you, we promise you, it's worth the wait.
We appreciate you bearing with us. Maybe a couple weeks from now, it will be ready. We appreciate you tuning in every single week. It is worth it. We can tell you that, but you'll tune in and you'll find out and you'll see it for yourself.
Yes, and we've been doing this now for a bit over a year. We just celebrated our 1 year of the Schmo Zone. So thank you guys so much for joining us on this incredible journey.
Yes, we started the Super Bowl last year in Miami, and we just finished up the Super Bowl this year. We'll get to that in 1 second, but let's talk about today's sponsors. Let's start with this, Sheath Underwear, the most comfortable underwear in the world. I wear it all the time. Helen wears it all the time.
I do. It's not only comfortable, and might I add, you're right, it's very, very comfortable, but it's also very cute. They have some really cute designs, especially for their women's line, and I know you own quite a few pair of the men's line, and for men, I mean, the styles look great too.
Yeah, I know Misha Tate, when we gave it to her for the women's line, she appreciated it. I appreciate it because the anatomical isolation separating my balls and the shaft, very important. Robert Patton, Iraqi war veteran, he created the concept and the idea when he was serving overseas, but these things are so comfortable, and once you try them, it's so hard to go back to normal underwear. The styles are great. The boxer briefs, I absolutely love them. They're comfortable as hell. Check them out. Use the promo code SCHMO to get 20% off. At sheathunderwear.com, 20% off. Sheathunderwear.com, promo code SCHMO. You won't be disappointed. And the other sponsor for today, I know you use their products all the time because if you aren't aware, Helen is training for the Olympic trials.
Yes, for 2024, but I love Origin Maine, their Jocko products. I use what's behind me, Jocko Go, right before I go to swim practice or even strength and conditioning training. It makes sure my energy levels are up to complete the whole workout because they are very intense to be able to have to train the way I have to right now to try to qualify for 2024. And then afterwards, I always use the Jocko Mulk. I love their vanilla. I love mixing it into my protein shakes with banana, some almond milk. I mean, that's kind of what we do here, our recipe.
The Jocko Go, such a clean alternative than the typical energy drink. Love using that. Their joint warfare, their vitamin D3, their cold warfare. I love taking all those stuffs as part of my regimen in the morning. Strong, healthy bones, feel great. And look, trust a guy who is a Navy SEAL, Jocko Willink. I mean, I love the stuff. Check them out. OriginMaine.com. You can either use the promo code Helen or Schmo to get 15% off at checkout. Won't be disappointed. So let's go back to talking about that Super Bowl because it was a year ago we started this podcast and we just finished up the Super Bowl here. Tom Brady's 7th ring. Pretty amazing.
I know. The man just never ages. 43 years old, still going strong. How many Super Bowls has he been to? 10, right?
10, 1, 7. I think like his percentage is amazing. I read some statistics somewhere where Tom Brady is more likely to win a playoff game than LeBron James is to make a free throw shot or something crazy like that. something amazing. Like, I'm a huge Michael Jordan fan, diehard, in case you haven't known already. But I think Tom Brady has now established himself as the greatest of all time in team sports. You can't argue with it. The guy just is a proven winner. He's 43 years old. I think a few years ago he said he wants to play till he's 45. That would make another year or two left in his storybook career. The guy's just a winner. He gets it done first season in Tampa Bay. New coaching staff, new offensive line, new receivers. Gronk comes back after a year of retirement, and look where they're at.
Well, what did you make of Patrick Mahomes and just kind of what they could have done better from your perspective? Because as many of you may not know, or you might know, but you've covered, or as the schmo, covered a lot of NFL, and you love the NFL, and you just interviewed Cliff Avril.
Cliff Avril, the Seattle Seahawks defensive lineman, the Pro Bowler, the Super Bowl winner, member of the Legion of Boom. We talked about how this game would come down to the defensive lineman, and this guy's made a clinic, a killing off of sacking the and putting pressure on the other team's quarterbacks, and it came down to that, a lot of it. And the thing is, the Buccaneers defense was able to put so much pressure on Patrick Mahomes. He had a banged up offensive line. His wide receivers didn't do him any favors. Balls hitting off of their helmets, dropping passes. Man, the weird angles that Patrick Mahomes had to throw the football on, and he was able to execute and still put off these amazing throws, and obviously there are incompletions. Like, you can't put this loss on Patrick Mahomes' shoulders. It goes as a team effort. His wide receivers, his offensive line didn't do him any favors. The kid's a stud. He will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I've interviewed him. I wanted my Chicago Bears to draft him. I met him at the Super Bowl party, a Lee Steinberg Super Bowl party, his agent back in Houston a few years ago when he was coming out of Texas Tech. Bears didn't give him the time of day. And, you know, the rest is history. He's drafted by the Chiefs. You know, that's what it is.
Haven't you also interviewed Travis Kelce?
Interviewed Travis Kelce, Tyrann Mathieu, who was chirping with Tom Brady, the safety there. You know, I do have a lot of NFL ties, especially prior to me doing the MMA scene. But I like all sports. The schmo doesn't discriminate against sports, really. It just so happens that MMA is my favorite right now. That is what it is.
Of course. Who can blame you? And also, last thing about the Super Bowl, like you mentioned, the Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, that combo, that duo right there.
Yeah, and for all of you that don't know, Helen's got a history with Rob Gronkowski. Didn't you party with him?
Yeah. Hey, be careful of the words you use. Well, yeah, so I did party with him. It was at the Hard Rock, and it was when Flo Rida was performing. Let's just say he knows how to party.
I love how you say Flo Rida. You know, you're distinct. It's not Rider. It's Flo Rida.
Isn't it spelled R-I-D-A? Right?
I guess so. Florida. And Florida. Back to Gronk, I went to college with him, University of Arizona. Like, I think the first time I actually saw Rob in person was like a Star Pass pool party. And I think he's on record saying,
Another
pool party. The guy says, like, he's got like 50 D1 scholarship offers and stuff like that. Could have gone to the Ohio States, the Alabamas, you know, the Michigans, whatever the powerhouses are. But he chose the University of Arizona. And I wouldn't say it's because of the academics, or maybe it was the academics. This is why I chose the university, or the academics, of course. Okay. But the pool parties, can't miss.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I thought it was for the basketball team.
Oh, yeah. Steve Kerr. Let's go. But definitely. That was the Super Bowl. And that's Tom Brady. That's Rob Gronkowski. That's a little bit of behind the scenes of our little football venture, because we started this podcast in Miami last year.
Literally at the Super Bowl. On Radio Row, and that's where your infamous, now famous, Yoel Romero, him salsa dancing, and my, I'm not good at dancing at all, but yeah, the Yoel.
Hey, that is schmoments of lifetime, of the lifetime. We'll never forget those.
And now Yoel, it just got announced. He's fighting Rumble in Bellator.
I'm not going to lie. That light heavyweight Grand Prix is going to be epic.
Oh, my gosh.
Tune in for that.
Amazing.
Yeah, but it's interesting, though, that they have this partnership with Showtime. Obviously, a paywall, like $10 for a subscription. Like, that's a heavier price than ESPN. It'll be interesting to see how many people tune in because, you know, it's now you have to pay more money to watch Bellator fights.
Yeah, this whole like paid subscription, it's very interesting to see how the world, the sports world, has kind of adapted or changing into a more digital, more subscription friendly and or unfriendly. And even we've seen it for a lot of like for media. We've had this conversation before where a lot of them, it's like now to read an article, you have to like pay a dollar to sign up or something.
It's an interesting way. Everyone's adapting. We will save that conversation probably for the Schmo Zone studio. Yes. It's a huge fight week ahead. UFC 258. Our guest today is the number 3 ranked UFC bantamweight in the world, Rob Font. He'll join us momentarily, but let's talk about UFC 258 right off the bat. I absolutely love the matchup. Not shy about it. We've interviewed them sitting right here in the temporary Schmo Zone studio for the Schmo Zone quickies. Both Gilbert Burns, Kamaru Usman, you know, two former teammates training together for like 8 years, over 8 years. These guys know each other in and out. Love this matchup. I'm expecting championship rounds, and how could you not expect an amazing fight overall?
I know. I'm extremely excited for this fight, and kind of looking at that pay-per-view card, the co-main event with Macy Barber, her return against Alexa Grasso, and then we have Kelvin Gastelum, Ian Heinisch. Kind of interested to see how he'll be able to bounce back, right?
Yeah, great storylines there, but the guest today, Rob Font, I love talking to him. He's the number 3 ranked guy. I think he got bumped up. He was number 5 the other day.
Number 11.
Corey Sanhagen's knocked out. Yeah, yeah. Quickest rise, too. He was number 11 a few months ago before Marlon Moraes, and then he's number 3 now. We'll hear from him. I think he's over in the East Coast. He's over there. New England cartel member.
Having fun in the snow.
Yeah, we imagine. But let's take it to him. Episode 54, the guest, Rob Font. 1, 2, 3.
How's the weather like over there?
Oh man, hold on, let me flip it real quick. It's snowing. It just got done snowing.
Still, oh my gosh. No golf, huh?
No golf, bro. The snow is just killed. It's the sun finally came out, so you know it's a little nicer, but it's slushy, it's nasty out there. We gotta come to Vegas ASAP.
Yeah, we have it. We're pretty spoiled. I think it's been hitting 70 degrees all week here. It's sunny. I hate to rub it in, but I know you'll be out here sooner than later.
Hell yeah, man. I can't wait to get back out there. This, I love New England, but it gets old fast, you know?
For sure, man. For sure, man. Well, hey, I was looking at the rankings and you jumped up. You were 5. You're number 3. Obviously, we had this amazing Corey Sanhagen flying knee knockout over the legend Frankie Edgar. But man, before the Marlon Moraes fight, you were 11. Then you go to 3. I don't think I've ever seen such a huge jump like that in the rankings. You're getting the respect, man.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. It was, man, you know, it feels good to be, you know, obviously top 5, but then to get moved into the top 3, that's even better. You know, I just need one more gift and get a name soon. That's all I need. I'll be happy, man.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to your name, but let's talk about this loaded bantamweight division, man. Let's talk about Corey Sanhagen and the flying knee and Frankie Edgar. What did you make of that? What was your immediate reaction?
Bro, that was perfect timing, man. Corey's looking amazing right now. You know, obviously, it sucks to see, obviously, Frankie knocked out like that, but, you know, timing, the footwork was there. Like, he's on fire right now, man. That kid's doing his thing, and yeah, man. We'll see, man. Hopefully, I can get in that mix, and you know, hopefully, get my name gets tossed around there.
Well, you're definitely in that mix. Yeah. I think Corey Sanhagen was calling for a title shot afterwards, fighting the winner of Petr Yan and Aljamain Sterling. But obviously, your name's right there in the mix too. What did you make of that? Do you think he's deserving to fight the winner of that, or you think maybe he should be fighting you?
Obviously I want that fight, you know, but I can see how, like, I feel like he deserves a title shot at the 2 wins like that. You know, he's finishing fights. In a perfect world, I would see, like, you know, the title fight happens. he fights the winner. I get TJ Dillashaw, and then, you know, we start kind of like figuring out from there. But I would love to jump in that fight too, but I don't actually see that happen. I see him getting a title shot, wait until after that fight, and then maybe hopefully me getting TJ Dillashaw.
Well, speaking of that title fight, it is coming up around the corner. I know that fight got rescheduled, and we spoke to Aljamain last week, but how do you see that fight playing out with him against Petr Yan, and then also with Petr moving or relocating his camp to American Top Team?
Yeah, you know, do you know why he moved out to American Top Team? Like, have you heard anything? Like, is there like a team breakup or something like that, or just kind of like a visa issue?
Not so much of a team breakup. I mean, we heard Aljamain Sterling thinking that it was because he needs just a change of opponents, difference of opponents. He wanted the different competition in American Top Team. I've also heard the visa thing. So I've heard mixes of both worlds. Maybe there's truce to both ends, but I've heard both of those things.
Did he go out there with his team, or is just a brand new, just working with American Top Team now?
I think he has some of the same people that he had in his corner prior to, but he's also got new faces as well.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the new looks are always help you out. You know, you get it, but as far as like the strategy, I don't think that'd change much for him. You know, he's one of those kind of boxing wrestling type guys that's going to try to, you know, throw a bunch of hands and then sprawl and, you know, I don't really see him trying to take this fight down. I think he's going to, Petr Yan's going to use his wrestling defensively and try to knock out Aljamain. But I don't think the camp shift is going to be a big thing. I hope he doesn't get injured and after he actually makes it to the fight. That's the only thing I'm kind of like worrying about. A new camp is like, you know, new camp, new guys. They necessarily won't protect you as much as your regular guys. So, as far as the camp thing, I hopefully everything goes smooth. He doesn't get injured. The fight happens. But I see Aljamain winning that fight.
And the other thing, too, is Aljamain moved to Vegas, and he was doing his camp both in Vegas and in New York. So they both, I think it's one storyline where everyone's talking about how Petr Yan switched his camp to Florida, but they both have two different camps that they're working with here for this title fight.
Yeah. So, again, hopefully both of them make it to the fight, you know. We'll see, you know, with new camps comes with new ideas, new training partners, and, you know, it could work great or it can backfire and you go out there trying too many new things and you don't actually land anything and you're caught trying new things. So we'll see. You know, I'm excited for that fight. I'm just glad that the fight actually happened and I guess the division moving, and then, you know, once that fight happens, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have a name soon right after that.
We're going to get to pushing you and TJ Dillashaw momentarily, but let's talk about Cody Garbrandt, who you just jumped in the rankings, who's been calling for the legend Jose Aldo in a fight. I don't think anything's been finalized yet, but do you like that fight? And if that fight does happen, who do you favor?
You know, the rumor is Jose Aldo versus Cody Garbrandt. I love the fight. You know, Cody always brings explosive. He's, you know, he brings that knockout power. So any second of a fight, even the third round, you can see a knockout. That's the type of power he brings. You know, you have the legend and Jose Aldo, who's fought everybody from 45ers to down to 35ers. I'm predicting like a second round knockout for Cody on that one. I can see, I think the speed would be a little too much for Jose Aldo, and I think I'll give Cody that one.
Yeah, because then that rounds out the top five. Everybody's active. Everybody's got a fight booked. You look at six, it's the guy who you're coming off the performance of the night against here in Las Vegas the other month, and Marlon Moraes. So that just leaves one name for me. And you said it too, TJ Dillashaw.
That's it, man.
The suspension's up. Have you heard anything? I'm surprised they haven't made any type of announcement for his next opponent, and I think you and him would be perfect dance partners.
It'd be a perfect matchup, perfect dance partners. I think it's great timing. I think, again, everybody's busy. It only makes sense. You know, Corey just came off a big win. I'm pretty sure he's going to want the title, the winner of the title fight. The title fight's happening. You know, Jose Aldo, and like you said, Cody's most likely going to happen. So, like, I'm the only guy here, man. Like, let's get this going. And so I think it makes sense. You know, it's a big name. I think, like I said, I'm pretty sure Corey's going to want to wait for the title shot. If that doesn't happen, I would love to jump in there with him. Again, Garbrandt, Jose Aldo, I'd love to jump in any of those guys. But I think those guys are all, you know, booked. And again, TJ's not booked. I'm pretty sure he wants to get back to fighting. Come on. You know, I don't have a dance partner. Let's make this happen.
Ideally for you, when would you like to get back in there?
Thinking April, May the latest. So like around there would be perfect. You know, I'm ready. You know, we're training, constantly training, but definitely, you know, big name like this, I would love to have a camp and, you know, time to promote it and, you know, put on a great show.
And obviously for TJ, you know, coming off that suspension, there's been a lot of talks, right? And about just kind of what went on with him and what he kind of got busted for, I guess. So what are your thoughts on just everything that's happened with him and that whole EPO situation?
Yeah, it sucks, man. It sucks. You got to question everything he's done now. You know, like, obviously I'm a fan of the sport. I was a big fan of him before, you know, obviously even thinking about fighting. And, you know, so it sucks. You got to question everything he did at 35. You got to question everything, you know, he's done pretty much in his career. So it definitely sucks. You know, to throw anything in your body at this level, you know, especially with USADA and everything, it's kind of like, you know, it shows, you know, a weak mentality to me. And, you know, for me, like I said, like, I feel like, you know, USADA's going to be there. He's gonna have to test clean. You know, he's gonna have to make that walk knowing that he's not dirty anymore. He's not putting that in his system. And you know, I want to see the TJ Dillashaw that's clean. You know, and we'll see how that guy reacts. But I think I'm the perfect guy to test him.
What's so amazing about your division? There's so many legends fighting in it right now, even if they're towards the end of the career, with the Aldos, the TJ Dillashaws, the Dominic Cruz, Frankie Edgar, of all those guys with Hall of Fame resumes, who would you say would be one or two, maybe rank them, of most importance to you to fight and have on your resume before it's all said and done?
Oh shit, it's tough, man. It's tough because there's so many. You know, yeah, guys like Aldo. But I was watching him since WEC. You got Frankie. I've been watching him since he fought at 55. So, you know, that's a legend right there. Then Cruz, TJ. So there's so many names. But I guess the most important, I would say, would rank up probably be TJ than Frankie. I'd rather get in there with a guy like TJ than like getting another guy like a legend like Frankie.
Now, you made your pro debut December 2011, so you're heading into your 10th year as a pro. Can you kind of talk about what this journey's been like for you?
Yeah, it's been a big learning process. You know, I'm just constantly learning and improving. You know, I feel like I'm just getting better. I'm not taking a lot of damage, so it doesn't feel like I'm old in the sport. I started off pretty late. I didn't start training until I was like 21. I didn't start fighting until like 24, I believe, 25. So it was like, and I didn't take any damage coming up on the local scene either. So like, I feel young. You know, I would say my cage age is young. I'm getting up there in age, but I don't feel it. I'm not showing it. And I'm just getting better. And then surprisingly, I do feel like the year off from my surgery and the year before that kind of helped me stay fresh, not getting hit too much, not, you know, grinding out every day and, you know, bumps and bruises here that I got the chance to heal those. So like, I feel fresh. I just came off a big W, not a given touch. So again, like, it's 10 years, but a good solid 10 years. And, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm just getting better. I feel like everything's really coming together, and you know, the power is always going to be there. So you know, yeah, I'm excited. I'm here. I've learned a lot over this last 10 years, and you know, I'm excited to put on big fights and deliver knockouts. So,
former CES featherweight champion of the world and a proud member of the New England Cartel, have to ask you, because when we had Tyson and teammate Calvin on the Schmozone podcast in our studio, what 20 so episodes ago. We got the story of when you guys joined forces, because you're a featherweight. Calvin's a featherweight. You guys train together. You go to bantamweight. He's a featherweight. We got his side of the story of how that all unfolded. Can we hear Rob Font's story of how that all unfolded?
It's funny, man. I just saw a picture of Calvin sent me a picture of the rankings back in the day. He was number one. I just got broken to, like, I believe the top 10 or honorable mentions, right? And I was just like, I believe I was only 4-1. And he was still, I forgot what his record was at that time, but I was slowly creeping up trying to get this guy. And then obviously the fight never happened. He was always number one. I was always number two in the division. It's funny, man, because I in my mind, I was like, I gotta beat this guy. Now he's one of my teammates, best friend, and I love that man. So it's like, it's obviously one of those fights you'll never know. But I get to spar him all the time, so kind of like, I get a little bit of what it could have happened, and some days it's good, some days it's real bad. So it's I'm kind of happy I didn't take the fight, but And as far as like us as teammates, it's kind of just like, once I got rid of that kind of trying to be the king of New England and be the man in the local scene and thinking bigger picture and thinking obviously UFC and title shots, and Calvin came along and we got together and we just catapulted, and I think our game just took off. So it was a good connection, a good training partner. And now we're getting top of the food chain.
And that leads to a perfect segment for what's going down this weekend in the welterweight division. Two teammates, former teammates in Kamaru Usman, Gilbert Burns. Those guys have had hundreds or a couple hundred of sparring sessions with each other, training partners for like 8 years or so. I mean, and then obviously Kamaru leaves for Denver, goes to a different team. Gilbert stays with the team. What do you make of this matchup, and who may have the upper hand in this situation?
It's obviously it's one of those awkward situations, but kind of one of those situations. I think they knew, they knew eventually that could happen. Especially with the fights they were getting, Gilbert Burns getting a Damian Maia type fight, then if you win that fight, there's only, the championship after that. So they knew. I'm just like deep down inside, they both know who got the better of each other in the room. So that whoever did get the has to play an advantage. So, I think overall Gilbert Burns is a little bit more well-rounded. Obviously you got to give the wrestling to Usman, but I think the mix of Gilbert's jiu-jitsu and his striking, I think it's going to be a definitely entertaining fight, but I can see that the champ squeaking out a decision here.
Do you think, though, that having the people in Burns' corner that have helped Usman get to that championship level years and years and years gives him more of an edge of just strategy? But you think that Usman, because of his skill set and developing his skill set, obviously going with Trevor Whitman in Colorado, is still just going to give him the edge because of that? And I mean, where do you see the line in that?
It's tough because, I don't think you can make that big of a change with a different coach like that fast, So it definitely sucks because obviously Henry Hoof and the rest of the guys are going to be with Gilbert Burns, right? So it sucks because they know everything about Usman. They know when he's giving up. They know when he's tired. They know when he's having a bad day. They can tell when he's maybe not trying to strike. So that definitely feels like definitely hurts him. But then again, like we'll find out, because to be honest with you, sometimes when he gets in there, you're not even really listening to the coach. You're just going out there and doing your thing, So it's like, you're like, yeah, whatever. They can say whatever they want. Oh, sometimes I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to do this. And then, go out there and do your thing. So I can also see that canceling out and not even being a factor too. But that's got to be so awkward. I don't know. I've never been in that situation. It's got to be so awkward to be standing with them across. Like, and I'm pretty sure they're probably still on good terms. And we got to fight each other. But I think this is going to be an awkward situation. I'm glad it's happening. I think I go with the champ on this one.
Now, circling back down to the bantamweight division, your division, someone that David just mentioned, Dominic Cruz, he has a fight against Casey Kenney coming up. Just curious to get your thoughts on how you see that fight playing out.
I think you know, Cruz is going to touch him up and even out wrestle him, win the decision, and get his name back in the mix. I think he's going to be a little like, it's too smart for him. I think he's not gonna take too much risk. Just his point his way to a decision and get the W and get out of there. You know, I don't see Casey winning this fight. I think Cruz is gonna get in there, outpoint him, overwhelm him, and win the fight. But again, like, that's another name. It's crazy. I almost forgot about him. Like, it's like I forgot that Cruz is even in this division too. Like, it's like there's so many big names that like. And legends and vets and champions in this division. That, like you said, the division's just on fire right now.
How's your teammate Calvin doing? I know everyone made all that noise about how tough he is and everything, and obviously he's one of the toughest guys to step foot inside that cage. But how's his morale right now? Is he back training? How's he doing?
Yeah, no, he's just hanging out, you know, hanging out with the family, kicking it with his mom and brother a lot right now. Just trying to stay at the gym. He has, as far as injuries, he doesn't have any injuries. It got the cut with the 8 staples, but that's it. And then his hands are good. No concussion, anything like that. And the lights or nothing like that bothering him. So he's good there. It's just, I know he's just like, has a burning sensation and get back to training right now and get back to fixing little things. But you know, he can't. I don't even think the doctors want him jogging right now. Just resting, relaxing. So he's got to wait for that. I think he has a couple more protocol type tests at the end of this month, and then I'm pretty sure after that you start moving again. But he's just hanging out, enjoying the time off. He had a busy 2020, you know, obviously a tough fight in the Max Holloway fight. So just think from right now, just take a couple months off, relax, enjoy some food, and then you know, I know he'll be in the gym with me, you know, watching and helping, and then give him a couple more months, he'll be back, and then just get back into the mix. It sucks though. It sucks because like it's a loss. But then it's like the way he lost is, I know he wants to get back in there ASAP. But it's like, I wouldn't recommend it, you know. So it's like it's tough to sit back and like, I know I sat for years. So I know even sitting for 3 months is going to be hard for him. So but he's in good spirits. He's enjoying the family, not enjoying his weather, but he's enjoying the time off, and he'll be back.
Can't get golf in that weather
at all, man. We're going crazy out here, bro.
Well, earlier you mentioned that you got into MMA pretty late. So what was kind of, you know, your start, or what made you decide that this is what you wanted to pursue?
I started off in jiu-jitsu at a jiu-jitsu school in Tampa, Florida, and I just got addicted fast. I did like the free trial for the first week, and then it was like, all right, it wasn't like addicted to jiu-jitsu. It was all about MMA. Wasn't even trying to do jiu-jitsu tournaments. It was just like, all right, hold up, so you're telling me like, you just gotta win and I can make money doing this? I'm like, all right, you know what, let's give it a shot. Like, I feel like I'm good at this. I was definitely overconfident, and I was like, you know, I can do this right now, and I didn't have no training. But it was one of those things. I went to the class, got addicted, and then from there, I just threw myself in a big bowl of MMA, man. I couldn't stop watching it. I couldn't stop training it. I couldn't stop talking about it. I stopped watching football, basketball, baseball. It was all MMA, any type of martial arts movie. I'll go back to the old martial arts movies, the new martial arts movies, you know, anything I could find on YouTube, Fight Quest, anything. I was just all about MMA, martial arts. And then, I just knew from the beginning I eventually was going to fight. I just didn't want to like pull the trigger too fast. But it was one class, man. That was it. I was done. Oh, actually, sorry. I delivered some pizza to some people that were doing jiu-jitsu in their yard. You know, at the time I was delivering pizza, they were doing jiu-jitsu in their garage / like backyard. And they told me what it was. So I knew it wasn't wrestling, and also knew it wasn't like UFC. At the time, I didn't know what UFC was, but I knew it wasn't that. And they kind of broke it down to me, went to the gym, again, tried that free week and that was it. Like I didn't want to hear anything else but martial arts or MMA. And from there, got my amateur fight, lost that fight, and then went, I believe, 3 in a row, won, and then made my pro debut.
It's amazing. And then those pizza guys, or the guys you delivered the pizza to, rather, become fans of you because they're big UFC fans. And they're like, oh, shoot, that's the guy that delivered us pizza that day we were rolling in the garage.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it's a funky story, but like it just happened on accident. Like, and I didn't, again, I didn't even know too much about the UFC. Like what I saw mostly was WEC because it was free on TV. And then I started looking for more UFC and watching the pay-per-views. And I believe the first pay-per-view I really paid attention to was the George St. Pierre versus BJ Penn fight. And then I started watching the Ultimate Fighter show. And then I figured out what the UFC was, what MMA was, what Strikeforce and WEC. I figured out what the promotions, how it really worked. Even the Gracie family, like in my mind, I thought I was going to go train with Hoist Gracie the first time. Like I was like, oh, this go train at this Gracie school. I'm like, oh, hell yeah, let's go train with Hoist Gracie, not knowing how it works, not knowing the curriculum, not knowing the affiliate programs and the black belts and how that really works. And once I figured it out, it was just like, man, I love this stuff. I don't want to do anything else but this. And then this kept going. And, you know, lucky enough, I had support of my girlfriend. She was just like, listen, I'll take care of everything else. Just go train. And, you know, and then, yeah, well, you know, now I'm talking to you guys, hopefully getting a title shot soon.
Yes, number 3 in the world. Now, how would you get linked with like Tyson and, you know, like the beginning stages of, also, when you met with Calvin, like, what was that all like? Because like David said, we got their side of the story.
I at the time I was in Florida, my girlfriend moved back to Massachusetts. I came up with her. And then I signed up at Sit Your Tongue, the Muay Thai school in Somerville. Mark Delagrati's gym, Jim, he trained guys like Kenny Florian, Marcus Davis at the time was there. Jorge Rivera, like all anybody from the top guys in New England was at SID. So I trained there. Funny story. I was actually watching a Tap Out show. Remember the Tap Out show with Mass? And they had Mike Campbell on the show and he was training in Somerville. So I was like, I was actually on the phone. I was about to go visit Boston. I was like, hold on, let me call you back. I'm going to watch the show, pay attention. Figured out what that gym was. Got on the computer, Googled Mark Delagrati. Googled Sit Your Thong, Googled all those fighters and just kind of like figured out what it was, how it worked. Cause, you know, never been to a Muay Thai gym. So, and then got on a plane, went to visit, tried their 3 week trial again, fell back in love, went to Florida and instantly drove back up. I was like, I'm coming back. I'm doing this. I found, you know, at the time I found the right gym, and I was like, that's it. And then came here, trained again, maybe a year and then not even that year, maybe like 6 months, and then I met Tyson. He was at the time was a top amateur around. I believe he was 10-0 as amateur, about to make his pro debut. So I was watching his career full. I was watching his amateur career and in the beginning of his pro career, and obviously that motivated me. It was one practice. We're jogging. He asked me, "Hey, you want to fight?" Right? I was like, "Yeah." I'll start looking for fights. He started like managing a lot of the guys in the gym. He was like, "You want to fight soon?" I was like, "Hell yeah, let's do it." He started asking around, looking around. Finally, got me a fight, and that was it. It was over. I was all in, full in. And again, that's the amateur fights. So around that time, I was thinking, "All right, well, who's the guy around here?" And then Calvin Kattar was. He was on fire. He was knocking everybody out. He was pretty much the king of New England. It was kind of like, you know, all right, well, I got to beat that guy if I want to get to the UFC or the WEC. And, you know, at that time, I believe he even fought for Strikeforce one time. And like, so like he's in my mind at that time, he has national exposure. He's the king of out here. I gotta get in those type of fights. And then obviously Tyson was like, whoa, slow down, pump your brakes, chill out. Like, you don't need to go to war with this guy and get paid $600. Why don't you get, you know, saying go to war with a guy like that in the UFC and get paid some decent money. And, you know, I was like, no, man, let's make the fight happen. He's like, no, trust me, you don't want to do that. It's not worth it. You're not even a big enough 45, or we want to get you down to 35 anyways. I'm like, all right, whatever, fine, listen to that. And then but at the time he was taking his break. He took a break, and then I believe he injured his hand. He took a break. He bought the promotion, Combat Zone. He was promoting fights, so he took a break. And as that break he was taking, I was just fighting. I was fighting like any chance I got. I just racked them up. I believe I went 10 in a row, and then got the pro debut. I'm sorry. Then I got the call for the UFC to fight George Roop, and then around that time, Calvin was trying to come back in. Tyson, he reached out to Tyson. We made the connection, and it was over from there. It was history. It was the smartest decision, not fighting that guy. And then, became one of my best friends and best training partner out there.
As a fighter, how much at ease does it put you to know that the guy that's representing you has also been in your shoes before, has also been a professional fighter, and then understands the game not only from that standpoint, but from the business standpoint? Does it make your life a lot easier?
He's not, obviously, like, Tyson's not just the guy pushing papers. He understands the weight cuts. He understands the feeling of going into a fight. He understands the nerves. He understands the adrenaline. He gets it. He's not just saying, hey, here, picking guys and going out there and fighting. He gets the matchup. He watches religiously all the UFC fights. He'll break down every single fighter. You should see this guy's notes. It's ridiculous. It's kind of overwhelming. I gotta read little summaries. Take a break. Summary. Take a break, and then come back and get it all in. I even had my girlfriend read it out loud down the reader, sparring to kind of really fully understand what he's saying and all the small little details. And because he puts that much effort into it, and then it was like having a guy that not only fought but wrestled. BJJ black belt and understands business. He also has his master's degree. He's kind of like, I couldn't go wrong. He understands business. He understands wrestling. He competed before. He played football, lacrosse. So he understands how to compete. Jiu-jitsu, obviously wrestling, and then, fighting MMA with a long amateur career and a decent pro career. He's, in my opinion, one of the best coach out here in New England. And I can't complain. I got a solid coach, solid training partner, and just got to go out there and put together some more W's, because I got a solid team behind me and the right support system. And I feel like with that support, the sky's the limit.
And such mad respect too, because everyone thought you were taking such a risk being the 11th guy fighting Marlon, who I think was 5 at the time, and calling that, what was that judgment there? You're coming off of injury recovery and everything like that. And then performance of the night, man. And obviously you guys saw something, you guys capitalized, and the rest is history.
I've been hearing that since I started though, I was told I shouldn't take the George Roop fight on the guy was too tall, too much experience. And actually Tyson actually rolled with him in Arizona, not before the fight, but a couple years before that fight. And he's like, no, bro, trust me. I felt him. I know exactly what it is. I know your style, and I know his striking style. And then he's like, nah, we're good. He's out of my team at that time. He was the only one that okayed the fight and went out there. We proved, I proved him right, because went out there and we knocked him out in the first round and we bonused. And that was the only person on my team that was like, yeah, 100%. Everybody else wanted an easier fight. But I'm like, bro, this is the UFC. Like, there's no easy fights out here. He believes in me. He knows what I bring to the table. He understands my hustle. Again, he wrestled this morning at 7 o'clock in the morning, which means he had to wake up at 6, handle the kids and get on the road by 6:30 to meet me by 7, then to get back out there, doing what he has to do with the other fighters. So it's like, he's dedicated. He's a rare breed. And he's the reason why he's coach of the year.
Now, do you like kind of having that chip on your shoulder, like always having to prove something?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I definitely don't need the motivation, but it definitely is a little extra motivation to kind of like, all right, watch this. Like, watch how, like, everybody out here believes I'm going to lose. All right, let's go prove this guy's wrong. and then, you know, even proving yourself wrong or right, you know, because sometimes you can start listening into those voices like, shit, maybe they are right. Maybe I should have took an easier fight. Maybe, you know, maybe I shouldn't come off of ACL surgery and go fight Mama Rice. And then those thoughts do come into your head. And I'm like, fuck that. Like, let's go. Ignore those thoughts. Let's get back to it. Like, you know what you're about to go out there and do, and having that belief, you know. And but yeah, man, you know, these fights are getting tougher, man. But again, like I said, I got the squad behind me, and I'm excited.
Now, you mentioned earlier in the beginning, like watching WEC, obviously the early days of the UFC Strikeforce. Was there a certain fighter in particular that really inspired you?
Uriah Faber, for sure. It was Uriah Faber, and I watched a lot of Carlos Condit when he was fighting at WEC, but definitely it was Uriah Faber. He was I just like the energy, style. You know, at that time, all I knew was the guillotine. As far as jiu-jitsu, and he was guillotining everybody, so it was kind of like that was my guy to try to mimic. But definitely, you're right, favorite for sure. Then it slowly became everybody. But at first, it was Uriah Faber, and then Ramon Deckers as a kickboxer. Those guys, like, I would sit there and watch their highlights for hours and just sit there the same thing over and over. My girl was like, what's wrong with you? Stop watching all these dudes. Like, come hang out with me. I'm like, bro, relax. I'm studying right now. But yeah, I would watch these guys for hours.
Where's the dogs?
They're sleeping right now, actually.
Okay, I don't want to wake them up.
I'm going to find one.
Well, we definitely appreciate you coming on to the Schmo Zone. Is there any kind of final thoughts or messages you want to get out there? You said March, April, get back in there, or April, May. I don't want to confuse the two. Let's say April in between.
Yeah, man. Let's go. I love to go April, May, worst case scenario. Just put a good word in for me, guys. Get the word out there. Let me know that, you know, I'm here ready to fight. TJ Dillashaw makes sense. So why not? Let's not make this thing hard. Make it easy. Set it up. Send a contract. Let's make it happen.
In a span of a few months, he goes from number 11 to number 3, the one and only Rob Font joining us in the Schmozone. We'll see you in Vegas. I'll be the Schmo again. In fact, the last time I saw you before Fight Island, I chased you at the airport, or the Schmo did. That was a good time.
That was a great time, man. Interview at the airport, the mask on. It was awesome. But yeah, man, again, hit me up anytime. I'd love to come back on, and I'll hopefully see you soon in Vegas. Also, put the word in. Let's go to Vegas, man. Forget the whole Fight Island. Let's go to Vegas with it.
Yeah, you guys were getting cabin fever when we saw you there that few days after the fight. You were ready to get out of there.
I'm going crazy. I'm just thinking about it right now. I'm going crazy. But yeah, man. Thanks for having me on. Great talking to you guys.
Of course. Thank you. Appreciate you. Take care, Rob.
Thank you.